Welcome to Once Upon a Storytime, the family-friendly storytelling podcast from Adventures Underground's Children's Department. My name is Carrie, and I'll be guiding you on this, our last adventure. Stories have fascinated humanity for as long as we've been sharing them. In the spirit of Adventures Underground, we'll be taking this podcast off the beaten path and exploring some lesser-known tales, and all you listeners out there are along for the ride. Today, for our last episode of Once Upon a Storytime, we'll be reading The Bird Boy. This story will be shared as told by Henry Beston in The Firelight Fairy Book, which was copyright by Little Brown & Company in Boston in 1919. And now, Once Upon a Storytime with The Bird Boy. Late one autumn night, a young queen stood by her window, gazing upon the silent and deserted meadows gleaming in the moonlight. Suddenly, far, far up in the sky, she heard the weird cry of birds flying southward, and lifting her eyes, the queen beheld bird after bird fly across the golden shield of the moon.
"Oh, lovely, happy birds," said she. "Would that I might have a son with wings."
Now, it came to pass that before the harvest moon rose again over the land, the queen became the mother of a little boy who was born with wings on his shoulders. But instead of being pleased with so strange and wonderful a little son, the king, who was very superstitious, and under the domination of a wicked chamberlain named Malefico, took it into his head that his wife was a sorceress, and gave orders that she should be imprisoned in a lonely tower and the child destroyed. So the queen and her baby were taken to an old and gloomy tower on a great rock overlooking the northern sea. And after they'd been there a day or two, the chief jailer came to the queen's room to take the child and kill him. The queen, when she heard this terrible order, uttered a gasping scream and, seizing her little son from out his cradle, pressed him close to her breast. But although she fought for her baby with all her might, the rude strength of the jailers prevailed, and the child was torn from its mother's arms. Then, before anyone could prevent her, the poor queen beat open the rotted fastening of an old casement window, sprang upon the ledge, and giving one last look of love and tenderness to her unhappy child, leaped down into the sea surging and pounding over the rocks hundreds of feet below. She certainly would have been dashed to pieces, had not a good spirit of the ocean taken pity on her and changed her into a great gray bird. Crying mournfully, the bird circled the old tower thrice and disappeared over the white-capped waters. In spite of his roughness, however, the jailer was neither a brutal nor a wicked man, and he did not relish the cruel task which the king had given him. So, instead of killing the bird boy, he carried him many leagues back into the dark forest which bordered the sea, and gave him to a family of charcoal burners. With these rough, good people, the bird boy lived till he was 5 years old, and every year on the boy's birthday, a great gray bird came flying over the forest from the distant ocean, circled thrice the charcoal burner's hut, and disappeared again, crying mournfully. One midsummer day, with a great deal of merry hallooing and blowing of sweet-voiced horns, the king of the country, accompanied by his young wife, came hunting through the wood. There was a pretty spring near the door of the hut, and the party came to a halt at its edge. Out ran the winged boy and his two little foster brothers to see the wonderful sight. And a wonderful sight it was, indeed, to see the horses tossing their jeweled bridles, the hooded falcons riding on the saddle bow, clutching the leather with their curving claws, the merry young pages in their dark suits, and all the gay company in rich attire.
"Why, see," said the young queen to her husband, "yon little boy hath wings. Really, dear, I must have him for my page. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a winged page? Besides, he will be a playmate for Rosabella."
So the king gave the charcoal burner and his wife 50 bright pieces of gold, which pleased them very much. And the charcoal burner himself lifted the bird boy up in his arms and placed him on the king's saddle. Then the bird boy waved goodbye to his two little ragged foster brothers, who were howling as if their hearts would break, and he rode away with the king. In a few hours, the company came to a splendid castle of shining white stone, standing in beautiful green gardens running down to the sea. Once at home, the queen commanded that the little winged boy be washed and tidied, and his charcoal burner's rags replaced with a pretty black velvet suit. You may be sure that when the bird boy was washed and dressed, there was none handsomer, none more winning little boy in all the world. So the bird boy became the best beloved playmate of the queen's only child, her darling Rosabella. Now, if the bird boy was the prettiest little boy in all the world, Rosabella was the prettiest little girl. Moreover, she had a sweet disposition, which is a gift even more precious than the gift of beauty. It was a lovely picture to see the children building toy castles on the floor of the nursery in the castle tower, the sun streaming on the black-brown hair and silver-white wings of the little boy and on the golden curls of Rosabella. 12 years passed. The bird boy grew into a handsome lad, and Rosabella into the loveliest of princesses. Twice! By this time, had the bird boy saved Rosabella's life. He had saved her the first time by swooping down and catching her in his wings just as she was about to tread on a wicked yellow viper, and he had saved her in the same way when she'd fallen over a cliff at the edge of the sea. Every year, on the bird boy's birthday, a great gray bird would fly in from over the sea, circle the castle thrice, and disappear, crying mournfully. Now, when the bird boy and Rosabella were in their 17th year, it came to pass that the king was summoned to war. His enemy was no other than the wicked Chamberlain Malefico, who had succeeded to the kingdom of the bird boy's father when that prince had died some years before. So the good king, who had been a real father to the bird boy, put on his shining armor, kissed his dear wife and child goodbye. The bird boy begged and pleaded to be taken with him as his squire, but the king would not hear of it, and insisted that he remain in the castle to take care of the queen and Rosabella. There was little cheer in the castle that unhappy evening, and all night long the bird boy thought he could hear the wings of a great bird beating fiercely against the window panes. A month passed, an unhappy month, in which there were no tidings from the king. Then, one rainy morning, a messenger who had ridden so hard that his poor horse could scarcely stagger rode to the castle gate bearing very evil news. A great battle had been fought. The army of Rosabella's father had been completely defeated, and the troops of the wicked Malefico were hurrying toward the castle as fast as they could. And so it was, for before the queen had had time to summon the people and gather together a few belongings, the troops of the enemy burst in at the gate, and a dozen fierce soldiers surrounded the queen, Rosabella, and the bird boy, and dragged them to Malefico. When Malefico saw the bird boy, a look of surprise appeared on his face, for he had believed that the wonderful child was dead. Then he fell to thinking. And as he thought, wicked purposes swept over his cruel face just as the shadows of dark clouds sweep over a gloomy pool. "If it were known that the winged child is alive," he thought, "the people would thrust me from my place and restore him to his father's throne. Now that the bird boy is in my hands, I will destroy him and be sure of my power." So he smiled and began to think of some manner in which he could bring the bird boy to a shameful end. At last he hit upon a plan. He would declare that the bird boy was not a human lad at all, but a witch child. He would then accuse the good king of having protected a witch child and condemn them both to be stoned. So he threw the king and the queen, Rosabella, and the bird boy into an old dungeon tower and went through the mockery of having a trial. When it was over, he sent a soldier to tell the king and the bird boy that they were to be punished the following day. And now dawned the unhappy day. The bird boy took Rosabella's hand in his, and together they went to the barred window of the prison and looked out upon the world. The morning was fresh and fair. A pleasant southwest wind was blowing. The king and the bird boy were to be led forth at noon, and the clock marked 11:45. "Dear Rosabella," said the bird boy sadly, "we have forgotten that today is the day on which the great gray bird comes from the ocean and circles the castle towers. If thou should see the bird when I am gone, greet it in my name, as we did when we were happy children."
"The bird may yet come," said Rosabella amid her sobs.
"No, Rosabella," said the bird boy, "I shall never see the gray bird again. And even if it were to come, what could it do to save us from these cruel people?" When the clock stood at 11:55, there was a confused noise below, and Malefico and the judges who shared with him the guilt of the unrighteous punishment took their places on a kind of platform which overlooked the place of execution.
"They will soon be coming to get us," said the king to the bird boy.
And sure enough, they heard the jangle of the jailer's keys at the foot of the stair. But suddenly, the sunlight in the room faded swiftly into a strange gray gloom, and the bird boy rushed to the window to see if a storm was at hand. A great, shadowy cloud, advancing with inconceivable rapidity, already filled half the sky, and as the boy gazed into this cloud, he saw, to his astonishment, that it was not a cloud at all, but hundreds and hundreds of thousands of great gray birds, flapping their long wings. The shadow of the birds fell over the platform on which the cruel Malefico sat, waiting for the king and bird boy to be brought forth, and then ceased moving, even as a ship that has come into harbor. Far ahead of the vast swarm flew one lonely bird, and suddenly this bird uttered a shrill and piercing cry, and immediately every bird in the flock let fall a great beech stone which they held in their claws. And for a long minute the sky rained stones, round, polished stones that fell like bolts of thunder. When the storm was over, and the cloud had begun to break into rifts and speckles of light and flapping gray wings, the wicked Malefico and his cruel nobles lay buried forever beneath mound upon mound of stones. The doom, which Malefico had intended for another, had overtaken him. The king and the queen, Rosabella and the bird boy, rushed down the stairs and out into the sunlight. As they did so, the great gray bird, which had led the cloud, sank through the air and alighted at their feet. But scarcely had the bird's claws touched the ground when there was a flash of flame, and the bird boy's mother stood before them. She took her son in her arms and told them all his history and her misfortunes, and how she had watched over him year after year and gathered the birds to save him. Thus it came to pass that when the troops of Malefico saw their former queen and heard her story, they acclaimed the bird boy as their rightful king and carried him back in triumph into his own country. So the bird boy became a king, married Rosabella, and lived happily ever after. The end. Once again, this was Carrie reading The Bird Boy by Henry Beston in his Firelight Fairy Book, which was copyright by Little, Brown & Company in 1919. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to host Once Upon a Storytime for y'all. Even if I won't be reading them aloud anymore, our bookshelves are still full of stories, both old and new, for you to discover. Browse our full inventory of new and used books online at www.advunderground.com. Thanks again.
Oh my god, I love this so much.
I know, this seemed like a really, really just like a good one for us to end on. Like,
oh my god, that was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of tropes that we're familiar with, but also, like, I love when the ending, like, I like happy endings, obviously, fairy tales.
Yeah.
They don't always have them, but I like them. But I also like when the heroine is a femme-presenting character rather than a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love moms in fairy tales.
I do, too.
I love moms that don't die in fairy tales.
Moms that don't die and moms that aren't, like, stepmoms that aren't evil.
Yes!
Because the evil stepmother is a very common trope and plays into young women and witches. And I'm getting ahead of myself with fairy tale trope talk, but...
But we'll get there. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there.
Carrie.
Yeah.
This has been so much fun.
This has been really fun.
This is episode 30.
Episode 30. Oh, I love that that's what we're ending on. 30. I love that we're ending on like a nice round number.
A nice round number. We have been doing this for 30 months.
30 months. Almost 3 full years.
Almost 3 full years we've been doing story time. And it has been a blast.
It really has. It really has. Like... the research has been fun, but also, like, coming up here and telling stories and having our weird little side conversations at different parts has been...
Like, I know that the listeners at home don't get to hear all of the side conversations that we have, but, like...
They happen.
They happen. It has been... Y'all think Carrie's up here in the studio recording by herself. I'm always up here listening along, making faces.
Distracting me in the middle of my sentence.
I'm so sorry. I try so hard.
Some of them are made to be interrupted. It's okay.
Some of them are. But, you know, it has been a blast. And a lot of these stories that we've read, they're classics. You can find them easily.
You can find them easily yourself. All of the stories that we've read are in the public domain, which means I have found them online. One of my favorite resources for finding these public domain stories is a site called Gutenberg, in reference to the Gutenberg press making print accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
It's gutenberg.org, gutenberg.org. And they not only have children's books, but they have all public domain. They have the scans of each pages, and they have them separated into bookshelves by genre, which is really helpful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And even though we won't be doing a story time in August,
yep,
Carrie is going to be a very special guest on both our Game Cabinet episode and our Word Warren episode in August. We're going to be talking about children's games, and we're going to be talking about fairy tale tropes, which I am so excited about.
Yeah, in case you couldn't tell, I'm also excited about that. I've already got the gears turning on
already got it.
Tropes and common things that come up in fairy tales, so, especially the old ones.
Yeah, but thanks for 30 months.
30 months. Thank you, Hannah. It's been a delight.
It's been so much fun. It's
been a delight.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in for 30 months, for nearly 3 years, listening to us tell children's stories. It has been just phenomenal.
It's been, yeah, really. We are very grateful to all of our listeners, but but this was also fun, just fun for us to do. So
absolutely,
we're glad that you were able to enjoy them as well.
And with that, we'll close the book
on Once Upon a Story Time.
You've been listening to Once Upon a Story Time, brought to you by AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episodes, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.